Hello, all you delicious cake-covered wolves who think horror is sweet. I am Cake Wolf, and I am joined in today's show of bloody confectionery delights with Miss Cake Bitch.
Hey.
And Mr. Dust Brain.
Hey.
So if you are a new listener, we are a horror podcast that builds cakes. Today's icing is a discussion about what we've been doing in horror lately that does include Stillborn, a movie that was just recently released in this year of our Lord 2018. we are then going to go ahead and play a delightful song titled Mongoloid. This one is a song by Demented Ago, and this is a remake by Devo, a classic Devo song called Mongoloid. Excuse me. I am a little bit stomachy sick because we had some bad noodles, so bear with me today. Miss Cake Bitch is also sick.
Yep, that's fun stuff.
Yeah, that's real world horror.
It sure is. I do like my edible horror, so I'm experiencing some of it right now. Next will be our filling, which will be a horror game show review of The Hills Have Eyes, a 1977 classic by Wes Craven. And then we will kick into our crumbs, which will be basically our final thoughts, our ratings of The Hills Have Eyes. And then we're going to throw some other just random things that are relative to The Hills Have Eyes at you. And then our goodbyes, our little bye-byes. So let's go ahead and move into what we've been doing in horror lately. I'm going to allow Miss Cake Bitch to take this and spearhead it. She's going to talk about 2001's The Devil's Backbone by Guillermo del Toro. Did I say that good enough?
I don't know.
Guillermo del Toro.
I stumble over his first name all the time. So we watched The Devil's Backbone because you recently got like a three-part set. Mm-hmm. The only one we haven't watched yet is Kronos.
That's correct,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch the third one because I've been enjoying his films a lot. He does this unique thing where the villains are normal-looking people. And they're just horrible human beings.
How weird is that?
Yeah, I mean, even in Pan's Labyrinth, you know, we're getting that feeling like, Pan's kind of getting bad vibes from him. But he actually is not an evil character at all.
Right.
So, this one kind of continues this where there's a boy in this orphanage who has grown into being kind of a shitty man. And he is like the definition of toxic masculinity.
Right.
And he just unleashes hell on all these other orphan boys. We find out. I mean, people have seen this, right? If they're going to see it.
I probably wouldn't spoil it. I don't think a lot of people have. We find out
about his shady, shitty past. And he's just not a good guy.
This does have a very iconic ghost character in here.
Oh, yes.
And I think he is completely adorable. I think he is one of the coolest looking ghosts out there.
I mean, he's scary at first when he's first introduced because you don't know much about him. But then you find out he's not like a mean ghost. He just wants some revenge.
Yeah.
He just wants revenge. And
there's some great imagery with the character Santi, which is the ghost in mention. He had a death that involved an injury to his head. So in the afterlife, his spirit is kind of shooting out this ghostly red mist from a crevice that's formed in his head.
There's a crack in his head and his blood is leaking out.
And it's like floating up kind of like a red cloud. It looks so cool.
Yeah, well, we can probably say he was drowned. Like, he sustained this injury and then he was drowned. Because that all is exposed right at the beginning of the film.
Right.
So every time he appears, it's almost like he's in water. So this blood is just seeping into the water, like it almost looks like smoke or mist.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like this kind of makes a really nice turn towards like a revenge film in a way, and has a very strange yet satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, I really liked the ending, how they kind of tied something that the boys learned earlier into how they help Santi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Dust Brain, how about you, sir?
What I've been doing in horror?
Yes, I understand you've been very busy, but...
Yeah, I've been pretty busy. I haven't even gotten to watch any films other than our The Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But as... If you know me from any of the other podcasts, you know I have a sick obsession with board games.
Pretty sick. If you, we should get a picture of your wall. He has this massive wall that's constantly growing of board games. Most of them are horror. And, yeah, it's like floor to ceiling.
Yeah, there's a scary amount of horror board games. I mean, I can't even begin to collect, like... good amount of them. Like, there's so many.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good ones, and I'm in like huge anticipation this month because I'm gonna be getting a bunch of good ones in the mail. I'm gonna be receiving all the early expansions from Kingdom Death.
Nice.
I should be getting that them this month.
Is that... Jack, for those listening that care about the progression of Jack Torrance? You've made a... Well, we made a character, Jack Torrance, for your Kingdom Death game. Is he still alive?
I believe he is, yes.
Okay.
Even though we haven't been able to play recently, but... Yeah. Jack Torrance is still alive, and he's still blind and...
Crazy.
Crazy and leading our little colony. But, yeah, other than that, I also have Cthulhu Wars. I have a bunch of expansions... coming from their recent Kickstarter this month.
Yeah.
Lots of new factions. And Cthulhu Wars is like a game where everyone pretty much controls a Lovecraftian elder god.
Mm-hmm.
And you battle elder god between elder god. And you have all these monsters.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Risk in a way. And the miniatures for it are really cool, especially the Elder God miniatures, because they're massive.
Yeah.
And
is the one that I played, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's a beautiful game.
I love how they're incorporating so many of these Elder Gods. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm getting a lot of miniatures for that, and a lot of extra content, so we're going to have to bring that out to the table as soon as I get these. I also am getting some expansions for the original... Arkham Horror board game.
Oh, cool.
So I'm looking forward to trying them out, too. And on top of that, we've kicked up... I'm starting to work on our board game that we're making. Me and Cakewolf.
Mm-hmm.
This is... I don't want to really talk about it too much, but it's pretty exciting, the new direction we're going.
Yeah.
I had to revamp some stuff, cut some stuff off, and I think it's heading in a really solid direction.
I think if anybody out there listening has tried to tackle creating a board game, they would know how fucking hard it is to get all the ducks in a row.
Yeah, and we're trying to do something really ambitious, and this is going to be like a cooperative game where you play a bunch of characters in a town, and we're going to flesh out the town so it feels real. It has stories to it. It's actually going to come with a book with story events that you're going to read throughout the game as you progress. So you're telling your own, or you're reading and telling your own story as you play. But the beautiful part to it is we're having like a lot of different monsters. So you don't know what's actually happening in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be a werewolf terrorizing the countryside, or it could be fucking aliens. Like, we're trying to encompass every kind of horror stereotype there is and fit it into this board game. And
it's super ambitious, like you said, and it's going to take time.
Yeah, but I think we simplified it to the point where it's doable now. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really overwhelmed at first, but we've got a solid direction.
So. Yeah, I'm very excited. Something that I watched recently, which isn't something that's too well known. It's a little movie that's considered nunsploitation. came across it because I am watching every nun horror movie that I can get my hands on.
Yes, it's still happening.
And I only found out about this one by searching forums about people talking about scary nuns. Because when you try to search nun horror movie, you're just going to get the new Blumhouse movie being talked about. The Nun, which is the spinoff from The Conjuring. It's just, like, completely saturating the internet. So you've got to dig elsewhere to find anything else. And Nympha from 2007 is a little cinematic gem. It's pretty low budget. If anybody has checked out Mr. Darian Brock's homemade movie, style for Nympha is like a stone's throw away from there. It's not big budget, and it still manages to feel compelling for most of it. They do a great job with the story. It does have an artistic narrative to it, but it's not overwhelming, and it's something that even if you do have an aversion, as I tend to do with art house cinema, you're still going to be able to enjoy this and digest the full experience of the story and not feel as though you're being given too many metaphors to really understand exactly what's going on. So basically, we've got a woman that's joining a convent to get away from the craziness of the world. Well, as goes with nun horror, you join a convent, you're going to find out how corrupt it is once you get inside.
Yes.
And she does. So she's put through a lot of different strange tortures that are relative to a bunch of tortures that have been done to someone named Nympha that this convent worships instead of Christ. And the Catholic Church, they allow this worship and they sanction it. And they are basically helping hide a lot of the practices that are very evil going on in this convent because they're seeing very spiritual results. And it's basically a really fucked up story about a woman who was put through hell and tortured and just like had this really deranged death. And became a tormented spirit, and this convent was formed around the place where she died, because that's where she's haunting. So they're basically worshiping a tortured ghost that likes to torture other people. And the whole aspect of that is really cool. I feel like this should be remade, given some more money, and done real styly and high budget. I feel like this could definitely appeal to a lot of people if given the right kind of treatment. So
you think its rating's so low just because it's so low budget?
I don't think a lot of people have seen it, honestly. Okay. So Nympha 2007, that's Nympha. Check it out. It's only an hour and a half long. It's not a very long movie, and I feel like if you get the word out there, maybe we can put some traction on this this great little odd gem horror movie. So I think that's where I'm going to leave off what I've been doing in horror lately, but not before I mention Stillborn from 2017, which was just released in February of this year. This is interesting. I went into this thinking it was going to be complete shit and I would be put to sleep while watching it because I was having trouble sleeping the other night. I ended up feeling very captivated by it and sticking with it. There were a lot of scenes with crying babies in it, And usually that's very obnoxious, but they work it into the story well enough that it actually makes you feel creeped out or, like, stressed rather than just annoyed that the sounds of a crying baby.
Crying babies stress me out.
Yeah. This one's basically centering around a woman that has two children. One of them is lost during birth, and she's suffering from postpartum depression. And throughout it, you're wondering if what's happening, all of these, like, strange supernatural events are in her mind because she's going through this postpartum experience, or if there is an evil entity trying to eat her child and has eaten her other child that she, quote-unquote, lost. Not going to tell you much more about it than that. I feel like you need to experience it. It's pretty gory at times. You can tell that it's got a kind of low-key budget style to it, which I guess, like the other film I was mentioning, it's a step up from that, but not too far. Still, it's worth watching. It's kind of creepy, and it's got an ending that leaves it open-ended and makes the whole movie a lot better when you get that. Like The Graduate, Mr. Dustbrain. I had never watched that until you said, are you fucking stupid? You want to make films, you need to watch The Graduate. And then you made me watch it, and that ending where you'd kind of see the two, the couple, after they've left the wedding, in the backseat of the car, kind of laughing and then looking nervous, and you don't really know what's going to happen to them from that point on. That's kind of what you're getting with Stillborn. They do it very well. I think that's one worth checking out.
Oh my god, what is that?
Oh, this is just something I was going to briefly mention. While going on Instagram to post a cocktail that we recently made, which I'll talk about in a second here, I came across an image of a VHS horror porno. And for people that have listened to our show before, we are not above,
unfortunately.
Right. We will basically cover anything. We talked about a horror porno before, Evil Head, by the Burning Angels. Well, this one is called Spankenstein, and it's by Bizarre Video Productions. And yeah, wow. It stars someone called Sky Blue and Summer Cummings, spelled like you would think. And yeah. There's a guy named Darian Black. Kind of sounds like Darian Brock. Maybe it was Darian Brock. And he plays as Spankenstein.
Is it Darian or Damien?
I'm going to say Darian. Okay. It's kind of black, like fuzzy.
Yeah, it's but, hard to you know. See. Okay.
Yeah, Spankenstein.
So previous life.
Spankenstein, starring Darian Brock as Spankenstein, possibly. And
yeah, it looks like he's got a really monstrous giant hand that he uses to smack their asses.
You only noticed that?
Yeah, he's got... So he kind of looks like Frankenstein a little bit because he's got the stitching across the top of his head. But then he's got this, like, what would you call that hairstyle? Who's the lead singer of Typo Negative?
Peter Steele?
Yeah, he's got, like, a Peter Steele haircut. And then this massive fucking hand. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's humongous.
That girl's wearing those ankle socks with the lace on the bottom that I wore when I was 5, so that's comforting.
She's leaning over, grasping a rock while he spanks her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Appropriate. There's different scenes of him spanking her throughout the... Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, so check that out if you want. I'm going to try to find that sometime.
God.
But yeah, we made a cocktail. It's called The Leprechaun, appropriately, because we are currently moving towards one of the best holidays, St. Paddy's Day. And this was created by Mr. Dustbrain. Maybe not because he loves the Leprechaun movies. I think that's more my wheelhouse. But we got to recognize something that's relative to St. Paddy's. Last year we did the Silver Shamrock Shake, which Mr. Dustbrain made. So tell us about this leprechaun cocktail.
Well, you got Goldschlager, you know, because of gold.
Right, leprechauns have to have their gold, and it has little golden flakes in the Goldschlager.
Yeah, yeah. And we have green creme de menthe, which gives it the green color.
Glowing hue.
Yeah.
And creme de cacao. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but...
I think you are.
That is pretty much like a chocolatey flavor. So we have chocolate, mint, and cinnamon.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Andes mint.
Yeah.
With a little cinnamon twist. It doesn't have too much of the Goldschlager because that's very powerful, so it's just like a hint of that.
Yeah, and you add milk to taste or cream. For me, I like my stuff a little strong. I add some vodka as well, but you don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's just if you're, you know, you don't like your liver. if you want to hear your liver scream...
I like my drinks to bite back.
You like it to bite. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It is a very sweet drink.
So that's what we've been doing.
That's your dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is more like a dessert drink. I'll agree with that. So that's what we've been doing in horror lately. Now, what we are going to do before we go ahead and kick into our song by Demented Ago, we are going to do a little segment I like to call Are You a Dummy?
Welcome to Australia, cocksucker!
All right, welcome to Australia, cocksuckers.
Oh, God.
So I do this basically because I love the Horror for Dummies podcast, which runs on the same network that we run on, which is the Padded Room Network. We got three shows to throw at your faces every week. The Padded Room Podcast, Cake Wolf Happy Hour, and the Horror for Dummies. So Horror for Dummies is an Australian podcast. They're going to be running every week. You can find them on the same feed. You're finding this show, it's pretty easy to find theirs. So if you guys would have listened to their most recent episode where they talk about one of my favorite horror movies, which is The Exorcist.
No.
I love The Exorcist.
Then you would know the answer to this question. So it's not a hard one I'm going to throw at you guys. But there is some interesting trivia that they do cover on there that's a little bit tougher and less known that I'm not going to get into. And if you are a fan of The Exorcist, go ahead and check it out. My question to you is, to find out if you are dummies, is in the movie The Exorcist, Miss Regan gets possessed by Pazuzu, which is a friendly little demon. And he's kind of gross. Like, he likes to make things really nasty, and he likes his worshippers to like make giant pillars of shit and vomit and blood and stuff, right?
Uh-huh. So sounds like one of your book characters.
That's why I like him. So Pazuzu, while he's in her, makes her throw up a lot of green stuff, and there's times where she's throwing up the green stuff, the green vomits on people. What was the substance that they used to make this green vomit look so nasty? Nasty, nasty.
I mean, it feels like the obvious answer can't possibly be the right one.
Okay.
Are we both taking a guess, or?
Either of you. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I've just always heard it as... pea soup. That's probably not right.
That's what you were gonna guess.
It looks like pea soup.
You're right. It is motherfucking pea soup. So you're both right, and you don't get an insult, which is pretty good because I didn't have one planned.
You were okay.
The last time
I had pea soup recently at work, like I bought the can of it and I dumped it out, and my coworker goes, "Oh man, that looks good." And I was like, really? Because I think it looks a little like vomit.
That looks good. I would love to eat that regurgitated from someone's mouth.
I mean, it tasted great, but it looked It looked gross.
Mm. I thought you were going to slam us with something harder there.
Yeah.
I love The Exorcist, but mm-hmm. it's not one of those movies that I've watched very much.
I recently got in the mail something very special I want to show you after this show. It's a possessed Regan doll.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Why didn't you show me? Are you afraid I'm going to yell at you? How much did you spend on it?
All right, let's go ahead and move into Demented Ago's Mongoloid. Thank you for enduring Mongoloid by Demented Argo. I love this song. So why Mongoloid? Why that song? Of all the songs I could play for The Hills Have Eyes, well, would either of you like to answer that?
No. I don't like
no,
this song.
You answer that.
You can answer your question.
I think it's pretty safe to say we know why it's Mongoloid.
Well, now you're making it fucking weird.
Yeah.
As I do. Okay, so we've got The Hills Have Eyes from 1977.
This is a
Wes Craven classic. And, I love this movie. This is one of the best Hicksploitations ever.
Hicksploitation. Well, hey, I feel like when I was reading through the IMDb stuff, mm-hmm. they did use the word mongoloid somewhere in there.
Yes.
Did you write the page?
No. So, What we are going to do for this horror game show review is basically do some spoilery things. So if you haven't seen The Hills Have Eyes, then go ahead and watch it. Come back and play along with us. Because how this is going to work is I'm going to give out questions. And we are going to get our co-hosts, Miss Cake Bitch and Mr. Dustbrain, to buzz in when they know the answer. Now, Mr. Dustbrain's buzzer is going to sound like this. And Miss Cake Bitch's buzzer will sound like this.
Why are you the way that you are?
Okay.
To keep spoiling.
Maybe not.
I'm sorry. We'll figure that out. I wasn't ready for this.
Are you ready?
No. Okay. I forgot that I needed to pick a thing.
Okay.
Okay, I'm the dog.
Okay, you're the dog. Okay. So, there
you go. Good enough.
Yeah. So, that's what the buzzers are going to sound like. When they know the answer, you're going to hear that cue, and then they're going to answer it, and then they're going to get points. We've got three categories. We've got the Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music, Mutants Seeking Casual Encounters, and I Paid Attention to the Movie. Now, for each category, there are three questions, 10, 20, and 30 points. And whoever wins between Miss Cake Bitch and Mr. Dust Brain, they are going to get their movie to go next. So they get to pick a movie, and then they get to host the questions, just like I'm going to be doing for this, because this was my pick. Yeah, and what is your pick, Miss Cake Bitch, if you win?
I'm going with Rosemary's Baby.
All right. And Mr. Dust Brain. Oh, wait. The original.
The original. Rosemary. Okay.
Yes. Mr. Dust Brain, what is your pick?
Oh, shit. Did I already win with Halloween?
You did. That's the next one.
I gotta pick another one, then.
Okay.
You'll
get back to
I'll
us?
I'll get back to you.
Okay. No problem. All right, so that's what we've got on the table here. There's also some lifelines that can be used. Each player has two lifelines. They're both the same. One of them is to turn the question around on me. So if they don't want to answer the question that they're getting, they can still buzz in, turn it around on me, ask me a question. If I get it wrong, they still get the points. The other thing that they can do is roll a four-sided dice and take the appropriate amount of shots that the dice calls out, and then they get the points. Mm. Now, whenever I do this, I always get high numbers. Four. Dustbrain always gets a one, so he's probably going to be rolling the dice at some point. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into our filling, our horror game show review of The Hills Have Eyes 1977. All right, so we are going to start off letting the winner of the last show pick the first category, which would be Mr. Dust Brain.
I'm glad you can remember.
Let's do Mutants Seeking Casual Encounters for 10.
Okie dokie.
You have to find your questions.
I do, because I wrote them differently this time. So, Mutants Seeking Casual Encounters for 10. Okay. Hi. I am blank. I like babies, small birds, and I have a habit of drinking milk from the carton. But for the right fat and juicy woman, I could change that. Some of my dislikes are going to the dentist and my younger brother who thinks he's ready to be a man. Who am I?
You're yes. Mars.
That is correct. Mars, played by Lance Golden.
Should Wait. I be keeping track of this?
Yes.
Okay. Can I use the back of this here?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so we've got Miss Cake Bitch picking the next category. What would you like?
I would like... The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music for 20.
Okay. Now, for this one, I am basically going to sing you a song with some lyrics that I have altered.
Okay.
Okay?
This is going to be great.
And you're going to have to tell me what character I am singing about. Okay?
Okay.
And fun fact, if you know the song is about the character's name. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing don't mean nothing, bro, if we don't make it out alive, no, no. And feeling good was easy, Lord, before I was attacked in bed. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my...
I don't even recognize.
No?
Wow.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing don't mean nothing, bro, if we don't make it out alive, no, no. And feeling good was easy, Lord, before I was attacked in bed. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my... Doo-doo-doo.
Who the fuck was attacked in bed?
So, come on.
Oh, Jesus.
So, if you can think of who's singing it... Who was attacked in bed, because that's the person singing it... And they're singing it to...
Oh, God.
Okay, this is a Janis Joplin song. And I cannot believe you guys don't know it.
I don't listen to Janis Joplin.
Are you kidding me? That's fucking classic rock and roll.
Shit. I'm going to take a guess. That's a long bark.
It is.
Brenda?
Okay. She is singing it to Bobby, her brother Bobby.
When was and Bobby attacked?
Bobby Blues is the Janis Joplin. Me and my Bobby Blues. Jesus, come on, people.
But Bobby wasn't attacked in bed.
She was, and she's singing it to her brother.
Okay. Brenda was...
That she...
Nothing don't mean nothing, bro, if we don't make it out alive, no, no.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. She's singing it to Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Bobby.
Well, I guess it would have helped if you would know Janis Joplin. And then you would have been like, oh, this is the song Bobby. So... It's for
Did
the character
I, like,
Bobby.
I don't know. I feel like I might have lost some feminist cred by not listening to Janis Joplin.
She is great.
Wow. Isn't she the character in Love Actually? Wait, is that her?
I don't
that
know.
That the one character listens to when she's very, very sad because her husband's cheating on her?
It's possible. So, all right. The Hills Are Alive right. with the Sound of
so
Music.
You get 20, huh?
Well, no, I'm not getting it. That's just nobody gets it.
Nobody gets it? No. Oh, we're not playing it like no. the way we used to. Okay.
So, Mr. Dustbrain, we'll let you pick the next category.
Jesus. How about I paid attention to the movie for 10?
Sure. All right. So, let me go ahead and find that. I need to start doing it the other way, okay? all right. So, I paid attention to the movie for 10 points. You've got, that'll do, pig. Oh, wait. That won't do at all. I wanted a baby, not a piggy. My adopted sister is a real bitch sometimes. Now, how did Ruby become part of our happy family again? So, how did Ruby become part of the happy family, the pack, as they are known? So this is Mars who is saying this. And this is right after Ruby gives him what he thinks is the baby, okay. But it ends up being a pig.
Yeah.
I know mm-hmm. the scene.
Okay. So, Mr. Dust Brain, how did Ruby become part of the pack?
I'm confused. She's just the sister. I mean, they abuse yep, her.
You're right. You get the points. You are that's completely okay. correct. Okay. I was trying. Was
born into it.
Yep. Okay, I was trying that's... to trick you guys. That was a trick question by me saying she was adopted. So she is actually part of the family. And yeah, she's basically, if any of you listening are fans of the Munsters, she's basically Marilyn Munster. Like, Marilyn Munster was really gorgeous, whereas all of the others were, like, you know, not.
I don't know if she's supposed to be gorgeous.
No, they gave her that wild lady hair, so she's not supposed to be gorgeous. Okay, she's supposed to look like she doesn't shave.
Well, she looks way better than the rest of them.
Oh, yeah.
That might be just what you're attracted to or something.
Yeah, maybe okay. You're attracted to the wild lady hair.
Yeah, I just like my hillbillies.
Disney princess hair. I woke up like this.
All right, so that's good on you, Dust Brain. Go ahead, pick again. Next category.
Jeez. All right, I paid attention to the movie for 20.
All right, this is our double trouble question.
Double
this
trouble.
Is, yep, this is a new thing that
mixing
I'm doing.
It up.
So what's going to happen here is basically you can go ahead and there's two questions. You can answer both of them, and each of them will be worth 20 points. Or you can turn it on Miss Cake Bitch if you want her to answer them. If she gets them wrong, she's going to lose 20 points for each question.
This feels very mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm. This is a way for you to get ahead if you feel like you are trailing behind, but currently you're tied. So it's your choice. You can answer them, or you can give them to her.
Wait, we can buzz in. Oh, wait. He would have to buzz in to give them to me.
Oh, okay. So you want...
It's his choice, basically.
Okay.
I'll just try to answer.
Sure. We're going to start off with the first one. Polar bears love it. Santa loves it. And the Carters love it, too. Polar bears love it. Santa loves it. And the Carters love it, too.
Coca-Cola?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was good.
That is correct. We've got some product placement in the movie. And when Jupiter goes into raiding in the fridge and whatnot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, we get to see some Coke cans in there.
Mars.
It's actually Jupiter.
Jupiter goes mm-hmm. in for the cans?
Well, he's the one that, like, holds the door open and, like, there's all the Coke in there.
Yeah.
And then he starts, like, taking the packaged meat and putting it in his pants and stuff.
I thought that was Mars.
Mars comes in and basically eats the bird.
mm-hmm. I thought that was all the same guy.
Okay. They all
something.
Look the same to you. okay, next question. Before Home Alone was cool, my brother and I were making some pretty badass homemade traps. Yeah, we're like the OG Kevin. But in my current old age of 70 years old, I'm a little senile, and it's hard for me to remember those traps. So can you help me remember two of them? So what are two of the traps used against the pack by the Carter family? Specifically, the brother and sister. The young brother and sister.
Yeah, this is an interesting part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the younger brother and sister left there, and they have to figure out how to survive. So they take their dead mom out and put her in a chair out in the desert to just, like, sit there. And I guess she's bait.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. a decoy.
Yeah.
And they tie up a... like a rope lasso there on the ground and tie it to the car wheel. And whenever the, it's Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jupiter comes along. They rev the engine and it snatches him and, like, drags him along the ground. as the wheels, you know, collecting the rope. That doesn't really work out too well, though. He just makes them angry. So they go, he chases them into the camper,
mm-hmm.
where they've rigged all of the, I guess it's gas.
Yeah, I think they're propane canisters. Propane canisters, like
yeah. And they've been filling the camper with this propane, and they've rigged matches along the bottom of the door, you know, so when he opens the door, and they climb out the window in the back mm-hmm. to get away. So then when Mars opens the door, it, you know, strikes the match and the camper blows up.
And that was a real explosion.
Yeah, they blew up the camper.
They had to do it in one take.
Still doesn't kill Jupiter, though.
Yeah, I know. That guy's badass. And speaking of Jupiter, I was just saying, oh, Christina, no, you're wrong. It wasn't Mars in the fridge, blah, blah, blah. It was Jupiter. I'm wrong. It wasn't Jupiter in the fridge. Yeah, that was actually Pluto.
Pluto's the bald one.
Yes, Pluto was the one looking in the fridge and grabbing the meat and putting it in his pants and stuff. Jupiter was not in there. Oh. It was Mars and Pluto in the camper. Yeah. So I thought
Mars was the one eating the raw meat, though.
I think the way you have to think about it is the way that they are meant to be depicted as, like, Roman gods, whereas Jupiter is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's the father. He's the one in charge. Mars, he's, like, the god of war, and he wants to, like,
tries to make the things happen.
Yeah, and he's afraid to assert himself to his father because he doesn't want his manhood to be challenged. And then, of course, Pluto, the oddball.
Question. Yeah. He gets 20 points or 40? Because it's 40. So much trouble. Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure I did that right.
Pluto, lord of the underworld. Misshapen head.
One of my ruling planets.
Mr. Dustbrain, you get to pick a next category again.
Let's go for 30. I paid attention in the movie.
All right, so buzz in if you know the answer. We've got, hi, we're the Carter family, and we're traveling from somewhere to somewhere. We seem to have forgotten where we came from and where we are going. Things get a little rough. Things got a little rough when we ran into the infamous pack, and we are currently suffering from momentary shock due to the deaths of our loved ones. So can you please help point us in the right direction? We'd like to get out of this Nevada desert. If it helps, Bobby was wearing a shirt that said where we came from.
Sorry, I keep forgetting that it's so long.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Yes.
And they're going to California.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you needed both of them.
Yes, I do. if that, I'll accept that. But do you know where in California?
I want to say L.A.
Yep, Los Angeles. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good, good. There's your 30. All right, so you pick the next category, Miss Kate Bitch.
I noticed it because it was a blue shirt, and I thought it was going to say Penn State.
Okay.
And yeah. let's do, I can't believe I'm going with this, but the hills are alive with the sound of music for 10.
Okay. Okay.
The last one went so well.
Here we go. Tail between my legs, I smell enemies. They're not my master's friends.
I already know.
Okay, well, I'm going to finish it. Then somebody bends my spine unexpectedly. Can we go back home before we become barbecue? Yes, we're both very scared. Neither one prepared. Where?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
That was so long.
Yes.
I did not get that.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's probably because we've both been walking around singing Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, there you go. All right, so you get that one. What's the next category we're going to do?
Let's do Mutant Seeking Casual Encounters for 30.
Yeah, you got to give him a break before he does the other.
Okay.
Yeah, he needs to recover.
All right. Mutant Seeking Casual Encounters for 30. Hi, I'm blank. I'm a good cook with a lot of old-fashioned BC family morals. I already have a man, but he's open to having more women over for dinner and a little dominating romance. If you're interested in answering my ad, you must like your women big-boned and be okay with a little bondage now and then. Nothing too extreme, just a little something around your ankle to keep you from changing your mind. Mr. Dust Brain.
It's Mama.
It's Mama, played by Cordy Clark. Yep.
There's no name there. It was just Mama.
Mama. All right, so Mr. Dust Brain, you get to pick the next category. This one's going pretty good, like neck to neck.
No, that double trouble really helped him out.
Let's finish out the Mutants Seeking Casual Encounters for 20.
All right, so we've got, hi, I'm blank. I like to explore refrigerators in my spare time. I'm a beautiful 6'2" and natural bald. Also, I share the same name as a famous Walt Disney character. But if you're a dog person, please don't contact me.
Sorry, it's Pluto.
Yep, that is correct.
Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is Pluto, played by Michael Berryman.
He was great.
He is, and he's a very...
We watched some of the special features, and he's, like, charming.
Yeah, he's a very charming individual. All right,
He's the one that looked a little bit like my gym teacher from elementary school. Just a little, like, not a spitting image, but there was something about his face that reminded me of him.
All right, so we're going to go with the... Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music for 30, which is the last category. And you guys can buzz in as soon as you know the answer to it, okay?
Okay.
But I'm going to keep going. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Mutants, meet the mutants. They're the modern nuclear family. From the town of nowhere. They're a page right out of England's history. Someday, maybe old man blank won't help them out of fright before he suddenly dies in the night. Someday, maybe old man blank won't help them out of fright before he suddenly dies in the night.
Oh, I don't know who was first.
That was desperate.
Okay.
As old man Fred?
Yes.
I'm like, Flintstones? Yes. That's not...
Fred. Yeah. Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. Well, do they even say Fred in the song?
In the outro.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in the outro.
I'm like, Flintstones, meet
Flintstones. It's like, someday maybe Fred will get a bit of rest and like throw that cat away or something. I forget how it goes. Basically, he's like throwing a cat out the fucking saber tooth out the window. But yeah,
all right.
So that was the game. Now, how did we fare? Let's go ahead and find out as we move into our crumbs.
Bon appetit, bitch.
Okay, so who won the game, Miss Cake Bitch?
Dustbrain won the game with 110 points
to my 70. Oh, man. 110 points, Mr. Dustbrain takes it away for the win, and he's going to let us know what movie he is choosing. Choosing.
Choosing?
Choosing.
I don't know. You got it in my head now. I kind of want to do one of these movies now.
Oh, okay. One of the pornos.
Oh, boy.
It's between Killer Cleavage from Outer Space or Fuckenstein.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Your pick, buddy.
I don't know if I can sit through another porno.
I mean, I like the idea of either of them, really.
Let's do Fuckenstein.
Okay. Let's do Fuckenstein. That sounds cool. All
right.
Dear sweet Jesus.
There we go. Fuckenstein 2012, a Burning Angels release.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another one. I just feel like anything that makes porn should not have the word burning in it. Like, it just doesn't.
Maybe not.
Doesn't work for me.
Do you think it's going to be in black and white?
No. Nah.
It looks classic.
It looks classic. Yeah. God.
I don't know. I'm excited. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what we thought of The Hills Have Eyes. Miss Cake Bitch, I'm curious to know what you thought about this. Out of a ranking of 1 to 5, where would you put this movie?
1 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to envision watching this for the first time in the 70s, before we have all become desensitized to everything.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to say, because I actually didn't find it all that action-packed as a modern watcher.
Right.
But apparently this was, like, truly upsetting to a lot of people back in the 70s. I don't know. I guess I'd have to give it modern day, like, a 3?
Okay.
It just wasn't all that scary. And, like, I had a hard time thinking that this... what is it, Big Bob, would be barreling through the desert on an unpaved road with his grandchild in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
like, just sitting in his mother's arms,
mm-hmm.
not slowing down.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't have even been in the situation that they were in, because who drives at, like, 80 through the sand?
And then if he's got, like, all of his kids in the car with him, why would he, you know... not just hit the fucking bunny, right?
Right. Yeah, well, yes, that also. Like, you don't break for the bunny when you're driving that aggressively through sand. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't...
I can understand what you're saying there.
That ruined a lot of it for
but,
me.
But, you know...
it just was so implausible.
It all depends on a person's upbringing. And obviously they're conveying the fact that this family values life. We've got a complete parallel.
Except that he's driving recklessly with his grandbaby in the backseat.
Well, he's doing that because he's scared. Now, if you paid attention to the beginning of the movie, we find out that he did serve, and he's basically freaked out by the plane that comes overhead, and he's like panicking.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even think of
yes,
that.
Yes, so he's panicking, and his family has very high morals, because his family runs at a complete mirror difference to the pack. And Wes Craven did that on purpose. He wanted, like, white bread family and vicious killers. And, like, a very, like, equal parts to each. So the moving away from the bunny is because, you know, obviously...
they're not killers.
Right, they're not killers. We even find out that later, when Bobby is, like, so freaked out by the death of Beauty that he's, like, in tears and afraid to even tell his family, because, like, you know, he doesn't want them to be scared. He doesn't want to let them know of the death, like, of what happened to their family member that they love. Like, it's all very traumatic to him. It's strange for us to see, because, you know, as the viewer, we're like, oh, just tell him, like, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason for all of this stuff, if you sit down to chew on it. My sister, she swerved her SUV into a tree with her son in the car, trying to avoid a squirrel, and ended up, like, completely totaling her car. Her kid was fine, but she had, like, I think she fractured her clavicle or something crazy. Like,
mm-hmm.
Broke her arm.
I'm a mutant, because I don't swerve for squirrels.
But yeah, I always try to break, and I've had some close accidents.
I mean, if
myself.
I can, I will. Yeah. But, like, if I can't, I'm not going to wreck my car to save a squirrel or
but,
a bunny.
Yeah, it's just it's to also, like, instill that
right. But, like, they're
difference.
Literally also trespassing onto a nuclear test site.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It just doesn't line up for me. So
okay.
That kind of, like, took me out of it.
Okay, Mr. Dust Brain. How about you, sir? Where does this movie fall in line on a 1 to 5 scale for you?
It's hard to say. It's
okay.
Perfect movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's terrifying. It does everything that a horror movie should do, and it mm-hmm. did a lot of stuff that wasn't seen before, and it did it really well. It shocked people.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of realism there. I mean, I can understand what you're saying about, you know, how they got in that situation was a little forced, but after that, everything else is very believable, and it comes through with the cinematography and the acting. I thought it was great. It's not a movie that I'd like to watch over and over again, but it is. It's. I mean, if I want to get creeped out and like, I'll watch it. I like it.
Yeah.
I will say that The Tale of Survival was good, and mm-hmm. that I enjoy this one a lot more than the remake.
Okay, you did see the remake. That's good.
Yeah.
I was going to ask
the remake
a question about that.
I mean, it was a long time ago, so mm-hmm. I don't remember a whole lot other than it was really super fucking rapey.
Well, yeah, you had said that, you know, I mean,
this one had it too, it was implied.
Right. I got a little bit from what you were saying about this one, like, did you want it to be more extreme? So I was going to ask that. Like,
oh. Well, I mean, my biggest beef is just that getting into that situation just seems so implausible. Mm-hmm. I liked the characters for the most part. I really liked Doug mm-hmm. and the dog, which went
yeah.
beast.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that the brother and sister were pretty clever, so I gave them credit there at least. Like, they weren't yeah. just laying down and taking it.
Yeah.
It was a tale of survival at that point.
What were you going to say, Dustbrain?
I was just going to say they added a lot of clever things to it, like just the Beauty and the Beast thing, mm-hmm, you yeah. know, and having Beast, you know, take vengeance, you know.
Be the Beast.
Yeah.
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 That was pretty cool. And the names of the mutants, like that's, I saw in the commentary they mentioned Goya's painting.
Oh, yeah.
With Saturn eating his children.
Oh, okay.
And that has to be, like, where they got some of this. Like, I'm thinking, you know, Fred is Saturn, but he didn't eat his children, and these are what they became, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Fred is responsible for the birth of...
And he tried to kill...
Yeah, Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Yeah,
you know?
he Jupiter's his son. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
That's the cycle.
It's... I think it's a really cool story.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of actually, with the whole relation to the Roman gods, I like that they were you called it a hicksploitation, that mm-hmm. they're taking yeah. something that's so ancient and cultural.
Yeah.
And they've reduced it, essentially, to these mutant hicks.
It's interesting, for sure.
I don't even want to call them mutants, because they aren't mutilated. It
was, very... like subtle, like yeah. they only mentioned the nuclear test sites
yeah
yeah
briefly, and you know you can read into that, you know, they don't even show the nuclear test site or anything. They just I think they said there was
there.
Yeah, he found a crater when he walked up the road ended, and there's a bunch of garbage and stuff thrown mm-hmm. out there. But yeah, I mean, you can say that probably, you know, he became, this child is bad because of the, you know, the radioactive, you know, nature of this place. But, you know, you don't know that for certain.
Yeah, it could just mm-hmm. be evil.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, so I think that this is a movie I can go ahead, turn on, and enjoy anytime. I was all for putting it on again when you got here, if you didn't watch it prior to us, Dustbrain. I really, really like it, and I like it a lot more than the remake. The remake I really, like, I will watch if I have to, but this one I'll watch if I want a horror movie that I enjoy. Yeah, I can definitely turn this on anytime. I think it's a perfect film. I would give it a 5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah, I didn't give it the rate. I'd say 5 out of 5 for okay. too.
I don't see anything wrong with it. Some of the, like, where you, Miss Cake Bitch, had said there was, like, a heavy-handed notion that you were given, like a God hand moment where they had to make them wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that because I felt like I was given enough information. And I maybe didn't get it on my first watch, but watching it a few times,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I can pick up on the little things and it just kind of all works together. Because this movie does, it does move pretty fast. And it hits all the beats. So I think it does require rewatching to get the full scope. And like you were saying, Dustbrain, about the Goya painting, that there's a lot of very interesting things beneath the surface to chew on. So this isn't a single layer movie. This has got a lot of depth.
Yeah.
This is a layered cake, if you will. So
yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I'm shitting on it. That right. just kind of took me out of the movie.
Right.
I mean, watching the commentary, it's obvious that this movie changed how horror was made.
Yes.
And that it introduced elements that people were afraid to touch prior to. Like the rape scene, they said yeah. was very controversial. Yes. And like people were nervous about it.
Well, this wasn't the first rape scene that Wes Craven delved into.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, not that I enjoy yeah. rape in horror movies, but I mean, it went to a place that it hadn't necessarily gone.
Regularly. I like the way that they depicted it here because it was leaving it up to your imagination. They didn't drown you with it.
Right. Like, you could just pretend. Really sure you could just that pretend went. That it yeah. didn't happen.
Yeah, you don't know how you far that went.
Read into it and say, yes, it definitely happened.
Whereas in his first film, before this, he did The Last House on the Left,
mm-hmm.
where, man, I want to say they show it, but it's been so long since I've seen that movie, so I'll have to watch that again at some point.
I do have one tiny gripe
mm-hmm.
for this movie.
Right.
The Mars character.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking goofy clown, curly clown wig that he's wearing.
Oh god, yeah.
I hate that.
It's pretty bad.
I hate it. I wish it would just go away.
I just can't take my eyes off of it. That I can't take my eyes off the hair and the teeth, but I think it works because it makes me feel dirty just looking at the guy. Like, I wouldn't want him anywhere near me. Just so filthy looking.
Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, this movie, like you said, Miss Cake Bitch, it does a lot of things new that weren't done before. And Wes, while he was making this, he was asking himself, what haven't they done before?
Right.
Which is why they, like you had mentioned, Dustbrain, putting the mother as like a booby trap out there. That wasn't done before. Just a lot of very interesting things that was brand new to horror. Especially, we mentioned Beast earlier. Even currently, I'm sure there are. Nothing's coming to mind, and that tells me that if there are, which I'm sure there are, there aren't very many.
Let us know.
there aren't many. Horror movies that have a dog that's, for one, not the enemy.
Right.
And for two, is not being outrightly killed or running away.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, they did kill
a dog Beauty. As a main character in a horror movie that is a hero. Pretty much is the hero.
When you said that, I immediately thought of that. Is it Air Bud?
Yeah.
That's immediately what I thought of.
Well, yeah, sure. Air Bud done horror. I mean, it's basically
his friendly dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horror movie that has a main star as a dog, which is so weird. And I love dogs. Right. So,
I feel like Nolly was probably inspired by this. For better or worse,
yeah.
Like she's our little protector, but she's also very tiny. So
that's one of the main reasons I love this movie so much, because the dog made it so great. And the scenes where the dog Beast is fighting Pluto,
yeah,
looks so real.
It's
ridiculously realistic.
It's done pretty well.
Yes, you compare that to the scene where the dog is attacking a blind man in Dario Argento's Suspiria, like worlds of difference in quality. This looks so awesome. Mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, and he did a great job with his shoestring budget of what? It was like $90,000.
Oh, I don't know. I missed.
And with that much money, I mean, they did some fantastic stuff.
They probably spent, what, a third of that on the trailer they blew up.
Yeah. Well, at that point, they didn't really have a place to hang out, so, yeah.
Oh, they filmed that last. They were like, well, we're leaving. Blow it up.
Yeah, real interesting movie. There's a fantastic release that Arrow Video did that has tons of commentary, documentary, interviews, tons of material. They even do like a bunch of postcards in there and just random little grabs that you can have. And if you are a fan of Wes Craven, you can go on Amazon and pre-order a limited edition release for The Last House on the Left, which is currently running you, I think, like $30 for pre-order. And they sell out fast, so if you're interested at all in that, and you want all of the special thingies and the unique packaging,
doobobs.
Yeah, go to Amazon and go ahead and pre-order that now.
Was that one remade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Most of Wes's movies were the earlier works. So got some questions to throw at you guys now that we've thrown out why we like the movie so much. So Hicksploitation is a thing, and coming from Central PA as we do, what do you guys think about this capital film in the obscure subgenre of Hicksploitation? Can you see similarities to anyone you've interacted with around the more secluded pockets of Pennsylvania?
Because I've already mentioned my gym teacher. No, to be clear, the gym teacher was not anything like the mutant.
Okay.
He was a very nice man. There was just something about his face. But I think you definitely run into people who, like, the mutants are one step above this ignorance is bliss sort of thing.
Yeah.
That most... I don't want to say most Hicks, because there are plenty of, like, nice people who are Hicks, but mm-hmm. there are some that cling to this ignorant belief that the less they know, the better.
Okay.
And I mean, I've interacted with people for being in a small town who definitely think that way, who cling to their Bibles and guns. But... I mean, they don't eat people, as far as I know. So yes. There's a slight difference there. They might hunt animals, mm-hmm. but I don't think they generally hunt people. But, yeah, I mean, it feels kind of exploitative, which I guess is why it's Hicksploitation.
Yeah.
Of this, like, subculture of people who aren't highly educated.
Mm-hmm.
That's... all I really have.
Okay. I did hear a story about a guy who bit the head off of a duck inside of a hotel and then cooked the duck in his room.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a story.
I mean, we had apparently somebody swallow a beta fish at prom.
Apparently these ducks would, like, migrate to the hotel because they used to have, like, a pond around this area, and then mm-hmm. they built the hotel there, and then the ducks would just come into the hotel, and it became a thing, so they just built a pond for them in the hotel. And there's this one crazy guy that just went in, he, like, bit the neck of the duck, ripped its head off, took it into his room, and fucking cooked it. And they couldn't do anything because they had a hunting license, and it was duck season, apparently. And they weren't pets, they were just wild ducks.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's a story.
Huh.
I mean, God gave us dominion over the animals.
Sure. Yeah, I'm...
I mean, that's, like, super gross.
There's definitely a lot of...
like, why would he bite the head off? Why didn't he snap its neck and then cook it?
It's all weird. Even if he did just, like, any way that he would have killed it.
Right, but that's, like, an extra level.
I've met some very strange people out and about in certain areas of Pennsylvania. There's a spot called what is that? Newcastle, is it?
I mean, that is a place in Pennsylvania.
No, that's not Newcastle. It's like, I can't. It's like where the Red Rabbit is. What's that area called? Out in like the middle
Newport?
Of Newport.
Oh God.
What's that area called? It's like
Perry County.
Perry County. Yes. Perry County has some of the strangest.
No, you're going there.
Yeah, they've definitely got some of the strangest people out there. And if you want to go to like a human zoo,
this is so offensive.
I'm being serious.
You
like
know, I have people, my fan. Some of my family lives there. You know?
Yeah, I've worked in Perry County, and not everyone is crazy.
I am telling you, like I had an apartment out there because it was dirt cheap when I moved out on my own, and there were some people that scared me. Like
they do not support public libraries.
Right,
I know that much.
Right. They don't support bright clothes because I got punched in the face and called a faggot for wearing a pink shirt.
Oh, well, I mean, they were probably just jealous of your confidence, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, weird. But I was I would like to finish where
okay,
I was going.
I'm
if you
want
to see like a zoo of humanity, go to Perry County and visit some of the strip clubs.
Oh, okay.
So you like there are some fucking weirdos in there.
I feel like
I went to one
strip clubs. But...
Well, I went to one, and it was like watching Humpty Dumpty with the fucking C-section scar right up her fucking abdomen. Like, so weird.
Yeah.
It was hypnotizing, but strange as fuck.
A friend of mine told me in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a strip club, and one of the women stripping had a bullet wound scar on her ass.
Mm.
So, you know, that's everywhere.
Do you know what hammer toe is?
I know what camel toe is.
Hammer.
No, I'm not sure that I know what
hammer toe is. Dustbrain, could you please pull up a picture of hammer toe so Miss Cake Bitch can know what this is?
Why are we doing this?
I don't know. I guess this is...
Do you want me to look it up? Because I have a phone, too.
I mean, you know, people have their issues. I have my own issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll get into. But yeah, like just some of the women that I saw there, they were like,
I mean, apparently it's also a real thing with a toe.
Yeah, here, right there. That's like what it is. It's like this strange, yeah.
Oh, like you're okay.
Yeah. I just remember one of the people there had that going on with like a weird like eye moving in one direction and the other
thing.
Eye was in the other direction, like just
Jesus,
some strange stuff. Now I know that there are a lot of sex clubs out there too where people will go like just meet and do whatever. Dustbrain, you were telling me about one of these places out that way.
I was not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, whatever.
I think that they cater to a lot of truckers who are just passing
yeah.
through the area.
Yes.
So that contributes
a lot of
a
it's
bit.
Run down, too. Like, there's a lot of businesses that try to get started, didn't happen, and then just got let go. So there's a lot of vagrants that find their way out to Perry County and just live in these run down buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a coworker of mine that was going to buy a bar, but there were so many vagrants living in it, he didn't have the heart to buy it, even though it was, like,
dirt
cheap. Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't kick them out of there.
Yeah.
The only place that they have to shelter.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's yeah. nice.
So, it's like, the hills are alive out there, right?
God.
We're gonna get murdered.
Dude. Like, it's not the same thing. Like, poor people aren't cannibalistic. Assholes, like this
is
not equivalent in any way, shape, or form, and I feel like we need
Although
to be very clear.
Although we do have Three Mile Island around here, so
yes, we
yeah,
do.
That's true.
So we got some nuclear activity.
Yes,
well, that,
yes.
I guess it has melted down already, or it almost did, or people thought it was going to. I can't.
That's
exactly.
actually closer to Three Mile Island. So
what is? No, we're close.
What's that town? That I heard that town is really weird.
Middletown.
Yeah, where is that it?
I mean, that's real close to Three Mile Island.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, there are some interesting people in Middletown as well.
Stories from, it's like Innsmouth, you know?
Yeah.
From Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Weird fucking town.
So what I'm getting at is Pennsylvania has a lot of strange looking people. And we've got Wes Craven from Pennsylvania. So,
well,
he drew some inspiration here.
I did joke that we live in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So central PA is like the Tucky part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I gotta
for
say,
the most part.
It's not that bad here. I mean, you can go, once you go south a bit, you can get into West Virginia and that kind of junk. It gets a lot worse. Like, you remember our trip down there?
We had road trips, yeah.
That was fucking weird.
There was that that sex club that we went into, which was like,
why do you guys go to sex clubs in places where you're going to see sad people naked?
Well, first we went to like some bar and everyone just looked at us real weird, and then next to it was a strip club slash like sex club.
Oh wait, so you
store
two
thing.
Together walked into a bar?
Yeah.
Okay,
they totally thought you were gay.
Okay.
100%.
Well, this like weird sex store thing was like year subscription $5, day entry $1. And we paid $1, got this little day entry ticket that was like printed out on construction paper. And it looked like we could like put it in our wallet or something. I don't know. But they had repackaged dildos that were covered in dust.
This is the place with the repackaged dildos.
Covered in dust. Cool. They had like,
well, yeah, because no one's going to buy a used dildo.
They had these like wooden, like little cubicle things that you could sit in, put in a dime, and like watch porno.
Did you just pay $1 to get in?
Yeah.
So many people jacked off in that booth.
Well, yeah, the glory holes. The holes in the sides.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had to shit. We left the, I wasn't shitting in that bar, like, after getting the looks, so we went in there, paid $1, needed to shit, and the woman's just like, those toilets don't work anymore. They haven't worked for a long time.
Oh my god.
I'm thinking, like, well, where do you shit?
A bucket in the corner.
Oh, that
take
place
the,
was
you
very.
You take the lid off, you poop, and then you put the lid back on.
That place was real strange.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, like a nightmare.
I also don't think we saw one road sign that didn't have a bullet hole in it.
God.
Yeah. So you got some places that are a little worse, right?
Yeah.
So
it's mostly poverty, though.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all West Virginia is like that, but where we went to, that was weird.
Yeah. Now that I've, you know, went out and said some awful things about other people, I'm going to say some awful things about myself. So I have deformities. I was born with clubbed feet. And what that is basically my feet, they were curved like towards each other and backwards when I was born. So I had to have a bunch of corrective surgeries to get them straight. And couldn't walk right. So and up until like, I think I was like 15, 16 when I could walk without like assistance well. I was a lot older. Anyway, so now I wear braces on my legs. But back then I walked like a mix between a penguin and Frankenstein. So it was like stiff but wobbly. And my last name is Fishgold. So they took my, like, my fucked up walking thing and my last name, and they used to call me Gimpy Goldfish. So I was just like this, floppy fish flopping around trying to maneuver on the earth. So I looked like a bit of a mutant, and, yeah, my feet have scars all over them. So, you know, I'm talking about that person's C-section scars. I've got some myself.
You should have taken your shoes off and showed her and been like, I know.
I know where you're coming from.
I know your pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got some fucked up deformities. I was also born with a cataract. So yeah. Most people get cataracts when they're old. I have one from birth.
Yeah, you're so lucky.
I'm basically blind in one eye. Like, I can barely see out of it. So
I mean, I'm
growing, like a cyclops.
I'm growing pilar cysts on my head.
That's mutant-like.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, like, I can just shave my head and get a job in the next Wes Craven film as a villain mutant.
Yeah, lumpy mashed potatoes, they can call
maybe
you.
Maybe they can, like, shave off my eyebrows to make me look real weird. Yeah.
All right. So I had to. Anyway, Miss Cake Bitch, you've got some real people with deformities that we can talk about.
I'm only going to talk about a few because a lot of these that I found, people are already aware of, like the Elephant Man.
Right.
And, you know, the people that look like werewolves, I forget what they call the disease, but they just grow too much body hair.
That's interesting. So then, they call those I think they call those Italians.
No, but I am going to talk about an Italian
now. Oh, okay.
All right. So this is one that I found interesting because I had never heard of this before. And I mean, I guess he's famous because he was in sideshows back in the like 1900s.
Sure.
But his name is Frank Lentini. He's a three-legged man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here, I'm gonna show you the photo.
Whoa.
I mean, he literally has three full-size legs.
Yeah, that's not a dick.
Yeah, wow. Like three full-size legs. And so he was born in Sicily in 1881. He has an almost entirely complete third leg, but also had a small fourth foot attached to that leg's knee.
That's badass.
Yeah. And even had a second set of, and you're going to like this, a second set of fully functioning, reportedly, genitals.
Oh my God.
Right?
Fully functioning?
Right.
I Dude, think dust this... brain. Can you imagine that?
That may just be Italian lore, though, because you know how they're like stuff.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. If a person has two fully functioning dicks, does that give him the right to be monogamous with one dick with one woman and the other dick with another woman?
I don't know the answer to that. Because his condition is actually the result of a partially formed conjoined twin.
Oh.
That fused with him at the pelvis. And since the twin's remaining parts were connected to his spine, the doctors weren't able to separate these parts from his body.
Okay.
So technically, I mean, it's an identical twin, but technically it's part of his twin.
Right.
So it would be two people's dicks, in theory.
Huh.
Yeah. But while we're on that, that idea, apparently Chang and Eng, I don't know if that was their given names, but they were the most famous Siamese twins. They were joined at the sternum. They fathered 21 children. They were married. Both of them were married to two separate women.
Oh, okay.
The women didn't get along. So they bought separate houses and they'd spend like 3 days to a week at one place and then go to the other place and spend 3 days to a week there. So they like traveled between houses because obviously they tried living together and it didn't work out. So they had to split their time between their wives, which I mean, that sounds kind of nice that those wives had some alone time and, you know, some peace and quiet. So, that's pretty cool. The other one I found that was neat was Ella Harper. She was known as the Camel Girl.
Oh, okay.
She actually had...
She have a big-ass camel toe?
No. Her knees bent, like, the way our knees normally bend, they bend backwards.
Oh, wow, that's
so
cool.
So she got her name...
That's like the aliens in The Arrival.
Yeah?
Yeah, with Charlie Sheen.
Okay, well, she got the name Camel Girl because she would walk on all fours. So she would have her feet on the ground, her knees bent backwards, and then she'd walk on her hands, too.
Right.
So her butt was up in the air, so she had, like, a hump on her butt.
Cool.
On her back. So, yeah, I thought she was pretty neat, too. Let me see if I had another one. I feel like I had another one pulled up.
Okay. Well, I am going to say this. If you want to go out and... I can't say this without being awful. So I was listening to the Padded Room podcast, and they were talking about some interesting things in Chernobyl. So if you're sick, you want to go kill some mutants, this. Apparently you can go and get really drunk, be given an AK-47, and escorted around Chernobyl. So apparently Chernobyl has a lot of mutated animals, and you're supposed to shoot them on sight or they will kill you. So they make people really drunk because I think that's supposed to have some aversion to the effects of the radiation. I have no idea.
I didn't verify this because I didn't have the heart to find out that there are people.
It's Chernobyl. I don't know. If you're going to visit Chernobyl, I think you don't probably have the same kind of qualifications of like a normal brain. So maybe they just go drink, take this massive gun, kill shit.
I mean, this is. Still,
I don't know.
Chernobyl
it's
is
so
still
weird.
Tainted, right? Like, it's
yeah.
still, like, not safe to be in.
Right.
Right. Okay. Like, I can't look this up to see if it's true, because if it's true, I'm going to just completely lose all faith in human beings.
I mean, I heard it from Mr. Darian Brock, so
oh, God.
I don't know. Yeah. So, do you have any more?
Yeah, kind of. This is not so much mutant,
mm-hmm.
but so there is a guy named Javier Botet. I'm not sure
okay.
how you say his last name. He is probably showing up in your horror films.
Okay.
Because he has this genetic condition called Marfan syndrome, which affects the connective tissue in your body. So they tend people with this. Syndrome tend to be tall with long limbs and fingers and have abnormal flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy actually played in Mama. And so there's this creature that bends in all sorts of, subhuman
right.
or superhuman sorts of way.
Yeah.
But it's actually a human being playing this. It's
That's
not,
cool.
So it's this guy who just has super bendy limbs who can, like, bend his joints backwards and everything.
Oh, that's badass. Yeah,
yeah so... I thought that was pretty cool. So we still have this like sideshow thing, except now we pay them money to be in movies,
which you should.
Yeah.
Like that that guy who had all of those genetic issues from shit. What was that movie we watched? Baskin. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it feels kind of gross that we're like, you're weird looking. Entertain us, please. But at the same time, I mean, if they're willing to.
It
use
makes
their unique look or I guess talents.
It makes them immortal.
You know, yeah.
And that's what a lot of people want.
And it
want.
Brings awareness to their conditions
yeah.
too. So
yeah, that brings me to my last question for both of you, which is do the depictions of deformed people affect our society's viewpoint of them and have an impact on dictating how we treat them?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there's a lot lately, especially, there's a bigger push to try and raise awareness of what causes these things rather than just
right.
labeling them sideshow freaks, which is really awful. But I think, I mean, when you're a kid
mm-hmm.
and you see someone who doesn't look like you, like, is deformed,
mm-hmm.
I think there's this, like, basic fear, because we're kind of taught that evil things are ugly and scary and,
Oh, yeah.
And good things are beautiful and symmetrical
mm-hmm.
and kind and all that. So when you see someone who's physically deformed as a child, you kind of think, oh, my God, what did they do and why are they like this?
Yeah.
And as you get older, you kind of have to fight that. But, I mean, Disney movies, the villain's always ugly in some way.
Not the later ones kind of started turning it around, like
right,
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ones, I should say.
Yeah.
It's usually, like, you got the fat, angry women who
mm-hmm.
are trying to kill the beautiful princess.
Right, yeah.
So... Yeah, fat women are apparently very scary.
Right.
it definitely affects. Like, it made me this guy who plays one of the mutants, like mm-hmm. I said, he's this charming, wonderful guy. And he got typecast into
Michael Berryman.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
He got typecast because his head's bumpy.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't make me feel good that it's still happening essentially today.
What about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Do you think they help with the, or is it just too cartoonish? Like, do they actually help the community of people suffering from, or not suffering from, but living with physical deformities?
The turtles?
Yeah. Does that help? I know it sounds ridiculous.
Do you think these people are being transformed through, like, nuclear waste? What is going on here?
I'm just saying that the name itself, the fact that they are mutants, do you think, I mean, they're very popular, and the name associated with these characters that are so iconic and beloved has mutant in the name. Do you think that does help maybe take away some of the, like, taboo of, you know, mutants?
No, because they're too detached. They're just, like, fucking mutant turtles.
All right.
Yeah, I think the turtles themselves are not helping the mutant cause. I think if you want...
Why are you calling them mutants now?
If you... Those okay.
people are not mutants.
No. But what I'm getting at here is if you want to pinpoint something that's raising awareness for people who are not your average human being, quote-unquote, I think comic books are a better place to look because... Mm-hmm. I mean, the X-Men, they're all considered mutants, correct?
Right.
And they're kick-ass.
Yeah.
And some of them look pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a lot of power behind them, and I think that's probably more empowering than cartoon.
Yeah, okay.
Normal-looking cartoon.
Yeah. But most turtles. Of the superheroes that are mutants are pretty.
Well.
Yeah.
If they're women.
Unrealistic.
Yeah.
If they're women. The men can get kind of weird looking.
Deadpool.
Wolverine. I mean, Hugh Jackman is ripped, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's just not too much out there to support, like, a positive vibe for people living with physical deformities. Beyond horror, really. I mean, horror is where you can go to kind of get the give the characters a little bit more love, right?
Yeah, it would be nice if they started to incorporate people who look different than your average person into shows. Like, they've started to incorporate autistic characters into shows.
Well,
I think that's great because
they do it in American Horror Story.
Kind of normalizing it.
Yeah, American Horror Story, they do that.
That they're not bad people?
Well, no, they've depicted, like... You know, humans, complicated humans, in several of their seasons that have physical deformities. But yeah, generally, it's, you know, you look weird, you're fucking evil, and you're going to kill people and eat them. Right?
You're the cannibal.
So, yeah, I think that does hurt the...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are helping out.
No, they're not. No, I think that comics might have a better take on that. But you're right. They do typically pick very good-looking people because they're selecting for movie stars.
All right. So I guess that's all I have, unless you guys have any final words. I think I pissed off Jason with my mentioning of the turtles in relation to people with physical deformities.
I think he reacted more viscerally to your comments on Perry County.
Yeah, this was just an episode of annoying dust brain.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Yeah?
To the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, help the mutants. Oh, God. Anyways, so I guess we should just sign off now.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Biggin, let's go.
All right. Let's go ahead and hit up our goodbyes, and then, that'll be it.
All right. See you later.
So if you'd like to contact us, you can go to cakewolf.com, where you're going to find our slew of horror-themed cocktails, some Fright Site news, which is news that is relevant to horror movies, and shows you that we are indeed living in one. Also, you can contact us by going to kingcakewolf@gmail.com. Going there, you can go ahead and say hello to us, send us some trivia questions for our trivia show, or ask us to cover something on our variety show. Any of those things, and yeah, we'll give you call-outs on the show. You can also go and follow us on social media by visiting at... There's the chihuahua. On Twitter, you can follow us at @TweetCakeWolf. On Facebook, you can follow us at @KingCakeWolf. And on Instagram, you can follow us by going to TheRealCakeWolf. Also, if you want to go on Amazon, type in my real name, Matthew Fishgold. You can find some of my written works. And yeah, that's our little call-outs there. And make sure you check out the other shows on the Padded Room Network, Padded Room Podcast, and Horror for Dummies. Also, feel free to join us on our Facebook Padded Room Network forum, which is the Padded Room Podcast Recreational Area. It's a private thing, so you just got a request to get in, and Mr. Darian's pretty good about getting people in there, so good on you there. And here's our goodbyes. So we would like to thank our resident pilar cyst surgeon, Mr. Madman Mars, removing weirdly shaped heads since 1981. We'd like to thank our expert on chin deformities, the cherubic Robert Zadar. Our sponsorship with Master Splinter Pizza. Make sure you use code IHEARTMUTANTS for a free large pickle and anchovy pie when you beat up any foot soldier. Also, lastly, we would like to thank Romero's casting department, giving Central PA hillbillies roles that they were born for since 1968.
How about showing up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads. Yeah. What the hell was that all about, huh?